Greg, you have the floor for the next half hour. You'll be notified when you're 5 minutes away from the end.
Well, it won't take a half hour, and maybe there'll be some questions. But first of all, I want to thank the board and for giving me this responsibility, the national staff for helping to orient me in the last days, Ambrose Lane especially for helping me with this transition and the continuing help I hope I'll be able to get. Also, special thanks to Lynn Magno, who does a tremendous amount of work to prepare for these meetings. People don't realize behind the scenes. And also to other people, who are, some of whom are at this table and some not, who have been advising me and briefing me in the last weeks. Shortly before I accepted the job, I talked with a dedicated Pacifica supporter who at one time considered going after the position. And from what I knew, this person was pretty well qualified for this position. And so I asked, well, why didn't you apply? And this is the reply. Well, I wanted to work again. Okay? And the basic point I think that was being made was that it's tough to work in such a highly charged environment, whether you're a general manager of a station, a program director, or sometimes even a board member, without making enemies and finding yourself at some point or other under some pretty difficult attack. So, anyway, I can't say that I haven't been warned. And in the last few weeks, however, starting even before I arrived for my first day of work in Berkeley last Monday, I saw descriptions of myself that I never would have imagined possible, I have to tell you.
We just like to welcome to the foundation.
And some of you have seen him, some of you haven't. Non-credible, fringy, you know, demanding, would-be overseer, conspiracy nutball. It goes on, you know. No, it isn't all one guy. It's there's a lot going on out there. It's in the internet and over the phones. And that was even before I made my first decisions, you know. So anyway, that was a wake-up call, okay? So the question is, who have you actually hired? Somebody said I was naive, and hopefully I'm not naive, and I'm not a boy anymore. And during my interview back in October, you may remember, and you haven't let me forget, that I said that I was an anarcho-Buddhist. Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I believe in widespread distribution of power and of wealth. I believe in cooperation, I believe in direct democracy and mutual aid, and I believe in a need for a fundamental transformation of society. That, to me, is the anarcho part. But I also believe in nonviolence, tolerance, and a receptive, persuasive, and non-attached approach to leadership in organizations today. Changing politics in this country and around the world is only part of what we need to do. A change in the way we relate to one another and the natural world is also going to be necessary if we're going to address the underlying problems that face the planet. But despite all of that, I'm also a practical person, and I think it's most effective to start the process of change carefully. And if you don't acknowledge the obstacles, the various forces that surround an organization and operate inside it and move somewhat methodically, step by step, what you're going to do is set loose a reaction, a resistance that will make the situation even worse. And so I'm very mindful of that. So given all of that, let me give you a brief rundown of what I've been doing so far in the transition that led up to my arrival at the national office in the first few days I've had on the job, and then some of the things that I see ahead. First of all, there's been a lot of studying, as you might imagine, and asking questions about Pacifica's history, its financial situation, its personnel issues, programming ideas, governance and organizational structure, and much, much more. I've attended some meetings of the PNB, the Finance Committee, the Coordinating Committee. I've weighed in a bit about the decision to launch a Spanish national language program. out of KPFK, and I've begun to talk with people about the future of national programming. I've met with representatives of Free Speech Radio, not enough, but I've started sharing with them some of my thoughts and about how to reach agreement in its long-term relationship with Pacifica. After talking with the HR director, Yolanda Thomas, who I hope will attend the next quarterly meeting that we have, I worked out a small office reorganization that will provide her finally with a private space for confidential communication that she needs with staff, I think a very basic thing. We also have agreed about a new hiring and intake process and a package that she's going to be introducing at various stations in the next month or so. And we've agreed that action by this board, she and I at least have agreed, on a code of conduct is a necessary initial step. And I know that's controversial to some people. And when I talk about a code of conduct, I'm not talking about a gag order or repressing free speech. I'm talking about, you know, the rules we all play by for civil conduct in relationship to other. And I think it's a necessary first step toward addressing many of the problems that lead to conflict and sometimes litigation. I've also spoken with the shop stewards of KPFA, and they seem to agree that uniform standards, along with a reasonable enforcement, can help to prevent or at least respond to some inappropriate behavior we see. While in Berkeley this week, I also worked with Ambrose on a management transition underway at the Berkeley station and met with some of the members of the LSB to talk about how we can move forward from this point. I urge them to move forward quickly with the search for a new general manager. I'll be taking some steps on that myself in the week ahead, and I've agreed to cooperate with them on determining how to keep local station management effective on an interim basis. One of my first decisions was to approve national coverage of the State of the Union address, which will be next Tuesday night. The goal was a show that would be dynamic, that would be welcome to the five stations, the five core stations, as well as to the affiliate, attractive to the affiliates. But since some of the stations are in the midst of fund drives, I tried to offer a structure that includes a remote broadcast distributed nationwide and the option for stations, if they needed to break away as needed for local reactions or fundraising pitches. We'll see how that goes, and we'll evaluate it afterwards, and that should also be a regular part of the process, a kind of a debriefing, criticism, self-criticism when we do this kind of thing. Hopefully, post-production evaluation I've talked about can become a regular part of the process and not just when we encounter some sort of a problem. I've been talking with Lonnie about how to diversify our revenue sources by taking advantage of new satellite internet channels and podcasting, and I need a lot more briefing on the technology aspects of the organization. And I've been briefed also about CPB standards and requirements to secure a full future funding. There have also been some initial talks about how to make best use of national fundraising through direct mail, and the possibilities even of a major donor effort that goes beyond what we've seen to date. Meeting the challenges of increased diversity in our audience and our organization is also very much on my agenda. This is not only needed to secure CPB funding, it is an important component of Pacifica's mission. It's an issue that bears on our election process, our future staffing decisions, and our programming to reach underserved communities. And it also raises question about the mission of Pacifica itself. Many people talk about our mission. I hear it all the time. But after 57 years and very dramatic changes in the media, I get the impression also that we don't all see it exactly the same way. So if I am successful in keeping my head above water, which is still a big question in my mind, and are able to address the day-to-day challenges, I hope to develop a process and present to you a process to revisit the mission, to find out where we agree and where we differ, and to reach some sort of consensus on why we believe that Pacifica is part of the 21st century media landscape, an essential and unique and vital part of that. I don't believe in false unity. But I hope that we can agree on some of the basic intentions which is driving all our work. So, what's my vision of Pacifica? Well, on this point, saying too little is as dangerous as saying too much, I think, especially for the new kid. But I will share this with you. I have some preliminary ideas. I'll tell you what I'm doing. Management. I think we need to make communication within the network more regular and more systematic. Yesterday, and actually the day before yesterday, I attended my first administrative council meeting. This is a time when managers talk frankly about what they've been doing and some of the issues on the table. And I'd like to see this turn into a much more frequent occurrence so that actually we can maybe change the name and turn it into what a real operations working group. The idea here is to consult and to share expertise and to support one another, to make it real rather than just sort of a preparation for this meeting. Governance. This was discussed a little bit yesterday. I'll add only that I will be working closely at how to balance local authority with the need to intervene at times and proceed nationally. And to that end, I'm going to be looking for ways to improve LSB staff and national office relations. And I don't have any answers on that, but I know that it's a very crucial issue. Pacifica's structure, as I said also here yesterday, is a really bold experiment in democracy, but it also poses a very difficult challenge in how we make sure that the democratic aspirations and rights that we all feel we have don't lead to division and inefficiency and an exploitation, frankly, of the structure. We don't want our openness to become an excuse for demagoguery or a war of attrition in which the loudest voices and those with the most time can simply wear the organization down. This is a class issue, and it is also a racial issue. I also want to promote our election process to make sure that the involvement doesn't drop, which is a danger, and that as many people as possible, are actively involved. Listener democracy just doesn't keep happening because you set up a procedure. We have to work to make it keep happening. Programming. My goal, as your goal is to continue to bring diverse voices and excellent local production to new audiences, especially program that deconstructs the false reality that's being force-fed to people every day. One step will be to support the development, which is already being discussed, of a sampler of programs from various stations that can be distributed through new venues, such as satellite radio and the internet. I'm also encouraged by the progress being made on our mission-driven programming policy, but will be sensitive to local programming needs and working with station management to make sure that local audiences don't feel the Pacifica is forcing the issue, the Pacifica as a foundation and network. Compelling communities to accept or to act is the last thing that's on my mind. Personnel. I think a systematic and fair employment evaluation process isn't a panacea. It can't prevent all lawsuits. But it can help us to do the right thing and to do it early, consistently, and to do our part to make sure people are treated with respect. So I want to cultivate a culture of cooperation, of financial transparency, and effective management that respects the contributions of the staff and the volunteers and the interests of the listeners. And that means early identification of emerging issues and problems, an effective dissemination of information to all those who have a stake in the outcome. And beyond these practical tasks, I want to aggressively promote Pacifica as a relevant and popular voice for political change and social transformation, using its archives, its effective voices, its creative programmers, and its ability to train and cultivate new talent to define the network's image for listeners who yearn for something better than the noise that passes for news and culture and public discourse in this country. In the months ahead, the public may read or hear some strange things, as it has before, about what's going on at Pacifica. Reports that sound disturbing at times, even dangerous. But that's unavoidable when you're involved in promoting free speech and open discussion. You can't get around it. But I think about it this way. Those who issue harsh, critical, cruel judgments are really telling you more about themselves than they are about the foundation and what it does. They will be... Thank you. They'll be appealing to people's fears, people's assumptions, projections about what they might do if they were in our shoes. The truth is, they're captives in a nightmare. You may hear that local boards and the PMB and I want to make unilateral changes, summarily fire people, sell out, grab power. You know, one report that's out there says that simply because I wrote a news story about a speaker who thinks we don't have all the information about 9/11 means that Pacific is going to become a haven for conspiracy theorists. Well, you know, there are actually some pretty dangerous conspiracies out there, you know? It's not all fantasy, but it's just plain childish, as far as I'm concerned, and ignorant to think that any manager in this organization would ever have the power to impose any particular programming on the station. So my message to anyone in this dream world is very simple. Wake up. It isn't happening. We don't have to listen to this. We don't have to listen to nightmarish projection. It's time to wake up. It's time to start focusing on what really matters. It's time to renew our purpose. It's time to project responsible advocacy, real news, and informed opinion about crony capitalism and imperial schemes, social justice, and human rights, to celebrate our differences and our areas of unity, to realize the potential of this precious resource as a people's medium, a medium that brings sharp critique and a progressive vision to millions of listeners. It's time to wake up, folks, and shake up the world. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. Any questions? Someone said, how long will it take?
Well, hopefully less than 12 minutes.
No, he's talking about the agenda.
Well, I think you made your point very effectively, and I think the board really appreciated hearing that. And if there's nothing further, or if there's no questions from the board for the interim ED either on anything that was pending.
Mr. Chair, will we post that on the website, what he just said?
Gee, do you think he wrote it down?
No, he has.
I like extemporaneous speaking, but I'll admit to the people who are streaming this or might read on the archives that most of it was written down.
Okay, if you could, yeah. Why don't you ask the ED to take care of that then? Bob, did you have something?
Yeah, thanks. Well, welcome, Greg, and thanks for those thoughtful remarks, and I look forward to working with you. I wanted to just pick up on one small point you made early on about your plans to, or that you actually have spoken to the KPFA shop stewards. I believe it was about the code of conduct.
A little bit. That wasn't actually the topic of the discussion for which they came, but we got into it while we were there.
Okay, yeah, and that's a very important step that... I think all of our managers do and need to continue to do, which is to constantly consult with the unions throughout the network for both paid and at WBAI. We also have a union for the unpaid staff, as you know. And so as we go into this next period, which just before you joined us, the board mandated that the draft of a manual for unpaid staff that has been created by our human resources director and others be not only widely circulated to the staff for comment, but that active steps be taken to consult with unions and associations and individuals on the staff, because there's a lot of new policies that are recommended in that manual, some of which are troubling and problematic. And so I just want to encourage you to continue active, ongoing consultation with the staff, its unions, and its associations on every policy that you and others are contemplating that may affect the day-to-day lives of the people who produce all of the programming, both unpaid and paid staff, that sustains this network and is what we're all about.
Yes, thank you. I will.
Greg, I actually have a question myself, which is my understanding that FCC requires that somebody be identified as responsible for the broadcast signal of each station. Who is that person for KPFA at the moment?
I couldn't tell you that.
Who could?
That's a good question. I've been on the job 5 days. There are a lot of questions I'm not going to be able to answer right now. I defer to Ambrose or Lana.
Who is presently the GM?
But for each station.
I ask the GM of KPFK who the GM of KPFA is? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I don't get what you're telling me. Somebody has to be identified as responsible for the signal. That's the general manager.
You're talking about at the individual station.
I'm talking about at KPFA in Berkeley.
Who is that person now? Right. I would say it would be the engineer at this moment. That would be Michael Yoshida.
Thank you very much. Ken?
Those were very inspired words, and I'm really encouraged. One little thing that made me feel a little bit nervous was your reference to a major donor program. I want to know, first of all, if you are speaking of institutional or individual donors, and second of all, to what extent can we be assured that there will be transparency with regard to any kind of donation on that level?
I was speaking mainly of individuals, not of institutional donors at this point. This was something that was actually asked of me during my interview as to whether I was comfortable approaching donors. Transparency. I don't think that individual donors, in my experience, are usually able to place too many restrictions. But if they do come forward and want to give, you know, a restricted donation, I think that would be quite a different matter than an unrestricted donation. And my personal approach to that would be to report that before accepting it.
You know, if we're willing to move to the CFO report, we can recover some time we lost at lunch. If there are no further questions. AC?
Yeah. First of all, I want to congratulate you for your future-oriented remarks. And one of the questions I wanted to ask was that since you said that we should wake up and get into the fray, are you intending to have, I know you're a newsman yourself, so... But are you intending to have a PR person that will project Pacifica on some of the commercial talk shows as well as the public affairs talk shows beyond our network to begin to really project Pacifica into the national debate that's going on over issues like the war, poverty, racism, and so forth and so on?
I do think, I agree with you completely that we need a much more vigorous and expansive PR program. This is, however, also a financial matter. As you know, as the board knows, we are currently dealing with some unfilled positions already in the national staff. I think we have a really important decision to make around a national programming position. To me, that's one of the key questions right now. There's also a question of how we deal with our technology needs and, in a sense, the scattered nature of how we approach that. So, you know, although I'd love to see, sort of a PR person in place, I'm afraid that's probably in the short term going to be fall on my desk, and I'm going to be looking for people in the stations and to help. Long term, you know, if finances permit, I would love to see that happen. But right now, I think we're faced with a lean budget, and as Lonnie is going to present to you momentarily, some immediate short-term challenges that might preclude that happening immediately.
Greg, I wanted to say something also.
I can't see who's talking. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And one of the areas that I'm always pressing for is fundraising. And because the pledge drives are not going to and do not and cannot serve all the purposes of each station, and I know you well know that, do you have any plans as to how we can begin to do local and national fundraising? And I'm not asking if you can answer that right now, but surely we need to begin to look, if we're not talking about going to institutions or underwriting and what some people fear the possibility could happen to our network, then what are we going to do to get money to keep us afloat? Because all this technology that people are talking about is not manna and quail coming from the sky. So I do want to know how we're going to make that happen.
Well, I think I implied it, but I didn't really detail it. I am in favor of diversification of revenue sources, not because I want to see us get more mainstream, but because I think it just makes sense. Now, what that means specifically and which resources you try to bring in, that's going to be a question I think that this board is to some extent going to deal with. Some things will be ruled out. Ken referred to something. There's been a discussion of underwriting, at least obliquely, that may be off the table, probably is. But there are other possibilities. I think the satellite possibilities may help with revenue, major donor. Solicitation grants is going to be something we have to look carefully at. I wouldn't rule it out, although I know it always leads to some questions about the sources of the money, but I do think that these are things we have to look at. And then, I think we have to look at programming as the driver here. And if the programming is really reaching new audiences, then that's going to, change the picture. I think Lonnie will be presenting some, I think, rather sobering figures about the number of people who contribute and the amount they contribute. This is not necessarily true at every station, but it is a general trend. It has to do with the aging of our audience and the attrition rate in terms of what people contribute. And we have to turn that around, but I think that programming is going to be one of the key pieces of that. And then coordinating the different drives that occur, because we don't want to step on each other's toes. We have national drive, direct mail drops and so forth, and then we also have this ongoing local drive. I'm not sure that they're all coordinated very well right now, and so that's another question for the managers group that I'm talking about, where you can find out what's working in an individual station and hopefully apply it to other stations.
Lavarne, and then we have very little time left. We have 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Lavarne Williams, I'd like to welcome Greg Kuma also to Pacifica. And I'd just like to comment that I think with our interim executive director, Ambrose Lane, I think he was very receptive and he was open to and for transparency within the network and director rights, that Ambrose honored those. And I think that he provided a very good period in terms of transitioning from the old, from the previous ED to the new ED, and I'm looking forward to the continuing transparency with Pacifica, and that we can actually then achieve our goals once we have began to enter really a new era in terms of openness and receptiveness to all groups and talking to all people within Pacifica. So I really appreciate that, and I just look forward to continuing this within the period that Greg is with us.
Thank you, and thank you again, Ambrose, for all the help you've given me so far.
Ray, quickly, Ray had one last thing, and then we'll
just
go to the
a few seconds. By the way, I thank you for your directness, and also I think we're dealing with an individual who's able to, not only your experience, but was able to learn very quickly and focus, and I've been impressed by some of the reflection of the organization that I've heard from you. One of the areas I've been involved with, and we've heard a lot of emotions here, and this is a reflection of real concerns and lives and aspirations and hopes and fears. One area I've been working with within the Committee of Inclusion, which I'd like to pursue again, require, at least the way they were written by the board, very often immediate initial activity on the part of the national office. So I'm looking forward to maybe, you know, going over that and seeing cooperate very well closely as to how some of those things could be done. Now, some of them do require financing, and it's been a problem in the past. But as long as these are valuable, I'm counting on an understanding that these are indeed issues that have been waiting for a while and are very important to the future of the institution.
Well, Lonnie will be talking a little bit about the financial constraints, but what I can say to you is that I hope we can start working on that almost immediately, and certainly to meet and start to talk about the specifics when I'm in New York the week after next.